Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from 1 Kings 6. And I read three verses, especially as a text verse for the sermon. 1 Kings 6, verse 11 till 13, where we read the holy and infallible word of the Lord as follows. 11 till 13. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes, and execute my judgments, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. The theme for the sermon is, God will not forsake his people. Three points of attention. The first point, God fulfills his promise. The second point, a house for the Lord. And the third point, true service of God. The theme is, God will not forsake his people. Three points. God fulfills his promise, a house for the Lord, and true service of God. Beloved congregation, it happened November 19, 1863, that President Abraham Lincoln gave his what is called Gettysburg Address. And he started to say 67 years ago. So he was talking about the year 1776 as the year that the United States were founded. The United States, free from Britain, could say started in that year. So he did it to show that he was speaking at an important point of history, because he connected it to, could say, the start of the land of the nation. And he says, now we are 67 years later. So there, here is again an important point in history, important time in history. It was in the Civil War, and he was aware how important that what happened then was for the history of the United States. And today, if you think about it, you can say, this week is also a week that is an important point in time in history, but in a very sad way. That we see how we give up our freedom of religion for the freedom that we want to do our own will. Well, and we know there's still freedom of religion, but we know that Satan will not stop and will push to bring down churches and schools. So what can we do? We have to humble ourselves before the Lord and cry out for grace, that our pride would break and that we would see what we deserve, and at the same time plead for mercy. Oh, that we would be convinced about our sin before the Lord and about our transgressions before the Holy God, so that our hope will be in Him. And, yeah, there's a saying, the lower we are to the ground, the nearer we are to the covenant. That's what I say in the Netherlands. And that the Lord would remember His covenant when we humble before Him. And oh, that we, yeah, that we might experience that the Holy Spirit will give revival in our days. So that there will be another point in history that will be remembered, that there will be a return to the Lord, that the Lord will make His face to shine once more over us as a nation, so that there will be repentance and there will be a change of the laws according to the Word of God. We feel sad, and right so. We should have that sadness in our heart because of our sins against the Lord. We are part of this nation. Let's never be so proud that we stand there, think ourselves to be above this situation. We are in the midst of it. We are part of it. It is because of our sins. It is because we have not been the way we should be as a church. The judgment is starting at the house of God. So there's the only way that there's hope for return. Remember what happened to the people of Israel many times, how they sinned against the Lord, and that the Lord came with His judgment, and when they called to the Lord in their distress and cried out for mercy and grace, that the Lord gave a judge to make His people free again, so that they would serve Him. And the Lord is the same. God is the same. He is so mighty to do that in our days. We read in this chapter of 1 Kings 6. And it starts to say, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. So here it is also the same thing. It is connected to, you could say, the starting of the people of Israel to be made free from Egypt, from the slavery there, and that the Lord made them free. And now it's 480 years later, and now they start to build the house of the Lord, a temple. So the Lord was leading them in the wilderness. He was the one that gave them the land that He promised. And He used David to bring down all the enemies. And now Solomon is in a position that he can build the house of the Lord. So now you could say the people is settled in the land that the Lord has promised them. 480 years after He made them free out of the slavery in Egypt. So you see the same thing as what President Abraham Lincoln did. He is connecting it to a certain well-known point in history, because now there's another very important time in history, and that is what is happening here. Here is a start of the building of the house of the Lord. And it will take another 1,000 years almost before the Lord Jesus would be born in the midst of His people, that the Lord would fulfill that great promise to send a Savior in this world. But the Lord is busy to do that. Through the ages, He was the one that called Abram and made His covenant and made it clear and strong with Abram. And He is the one that made His people free from Egypt. And He is the one that gave them a land to settle. And He is the one that would make His son to be born in this world. So what is the teaching in this scripture part? It is so clear that God is fulfilling His promise according to His own word. God is faithful. Whatever might happen in this world history cannot stop the Lord in doing what He has promised. Oh, and that we all would have that faith in our hearts, that we will trust the Lord upon His word, for what He is teaching and saying in His word. And that will be our only hope. The Lord has said it in His word. That is the life of faith of a true believer, to rest in the promise of God. And oh, many times in the history of the people of Israel or the history of this world, it seemed that it was impossible that this could ever happen, that the Lord would establish His people and that a Savior would be born. It seemed they would be killed in Egypt. And the Lord made them free in due time. It seemed that they would die in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And the Lord kept them and brought them in the promised land. It seemed that they could never overcome all those enemies. In the land of Canaan, they were giants in strong cities. And the Lord overcame all those enemies. And He gave them this land. And they even after that, many times in the times of the judges, they sinned against the Lord. Like they had been in rebellion in the desert, in the wilderness, again and again, again and again, in rebellion against God, their holy Creator, their God. And now, in the time of the judges, they sin against God, they serve idols, and the Lord is sending the armies of the enemies to punish them, and they are brought very low. And then they cried out for grace, and the Lord, He lifted them up. Oh, if you meditate upon that, what the Lord has done to His people, that He will not forsake His people, how encouraging it is. If you have to acknowledge this morning that you are so much like the people of Israel, that you have that same rebellious heart, like they, what they did in the desert, in the wilderness, that they again and again were lifting up their fists to the Lord because of what He did. That's what they thought, but because of the things that they experienced, that they were tested, and instead of kneeling down and praying, they were angry, and they were rebellion, and shouting. And the Lord punished them, chastised them, but He helped them, He kept them. So, and then in the time of the judges, how He again and again, you would expect, well, one time, two times, three times, and then it is finished, then it is over. That's how we would behave to others. Now it's enough. Now I'm ready with it. I'm done with it. I cannot bear it anymore. And the Lord again and again. How abundant is His mercy and how strong and long is His patience with a sinful people. God will not forsake His people. He is faithful to His own word. He is keeping His promise. So if you see your own life this morning, a child of God, if you remember how you are before the Lord, how long ago did the Lord work in your heart? Is it 10 years ago? Is it 20 years ago? Maybe 30 years ago? And what did you do in all those years that the Lord has forbid you? Did you sin once, twice, one day, one week, or one year? You sinned every day. And many times you were falling in such a way that you had to acknowledge that you were sinning so terribly against God, that you are so disappointed about yourself. And what did the Lord do in all those years? Did He throw you away? Did He cast you out? Did He say, well, now it's enough? When you cried out for grace again, when you were brought low in your distress, say, no, now it's enough, you've sinned too much. He never did that. It's unbelievable how great and gracious God is to sinful, full human beings, men and women, boys and girls and children. It's unbelievable.
that he is so forbearing. Why? Well, he is taking reasons out of himself because of his good pleasure, because of Christ's sake, because of his righteousness. He is forgiving and forgiving again and again. And now it's making you more humble, more and more humble before the Lord. If you see your own life like we see the people of Israel, and then at the same time you see what God has done to you, what he has done to the people of Israel, that you have to acknowledge, oh Lord, I'm not faithful. If I will ever enter heaven, it's not because of my faithfulness. That's impossible. Not because of my righteousness or holiness. That's impossible. It's only because of the righteousness of Christ and his holiness. It's only because of thy faithfulness to a sinful person like I am in myself. And Christ is my only hope. And Christ is my only expectation. So you become more and more low before the Lord. And Christ become more and more high before you. His beauty is so great. And his love. You see more and more of that. And you are more and more full of him and empty of yourself. And you talk more and more about Christ and less about yourself. Is that what happens in your life? Thank the Lord for this gospel. So is there anybody here that thinks that he cannot be saved? Why do you think that? Did you not hear the word of God? Did you not hear his promises? Do you not see that he is a God that is gracious? And that he is willing to forgive sinners. Oh, cry out for that grace. He will not cast you out. And maybe you are afraid that you say, well, but I will fall after I come to the Lord. Yeah, you will. So then people will see that I'm a hypocrite. No, the Lord will lift you up again and again. He is not forsaking his people. Maybe you say, well, if I could change some things in my life, then I could have hope. Well, you cannot. It's impossible. Without Christ, you cannot improve your life, at least not the way you should improve it from the inside. Our only hope is in Christ. Can you change your heart? Can you change the inclinations of your heart? You cannot. And God is able to do it. So, here we are in our helplessness and hopelessness. And here is the word of God with his promises and proclaiming a savior for the ungodly, for sinners. That's our hope. That you would rest in the word, that you would experience God is keeping his promise. That's why I will be saved. You see, it's so clear here. When they start to build the temple of God, it is because God is faithful. It was totally impossible for them. They could never overcome the enemies, like we cannot overcome Satan and sin and the world. But God is doing it in the hearts and lives of his children, changing their desire, their will, their heart. It's all his work. And oh, that's why it's happening. That's why we have hope. That's why there is still a deep joy in our hearts. A deep peace. A rejoicing in the Lord. You know that life of faith in Christ. You know that life out of the promises of God. That you walk with the Lord every day. Depending on the Lord. They start to build the house of the Lord. The Lord has promised it to David, that his son would do it. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, we could read it. That the son of David would build a temple. And here it's happening. But it was not only that the Lord promised it to David. Long, long before David lived, the Lord promised it. We can read it in Exodus
15, where the Lord has brought his people through the Red Sea. They have been in the most deep distress and fear that it would be killed by Pharaoh. And the Lord was bringing them through the sea in a miraculous way, through the water, through the impossibility of their own. That's what the Lord is doing. Showing our own impossibility and making a way where no way was. In Christ, where we see that we have to die, deserve wrath, and then making us free. And then Moses is singing. Yeah. Who would not sing? Who is experiencing that power of the Lord in his heart and life, that he is making you free out of all the powers of darkness and death. And when Moses is singing that song of victory on the shores of the Red Sea, then he says, Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. In the sanctuary, which thy hands have established. So here is already, in a prophetical way, the promise and the expectation inspired by the Holy Spirit in the days of Moses. And here, ages and ages later, we see the fulfillment while they start to build the house of God. Wonderful to have hope in the Lord. Where everything seems to be impossible, still hope in the Lord. It's the way that the Lord is working. Why? Because then he will receive the glory. He will receive the honor. We will not boast in ourselves, but boast in the Lord. And isn't it the same with the church? Isn't it true that there is no hope if it would depend on us? How much we depend on the work of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. This house of the Lord in the days of Solomon would not be built if it was by the strength of man. And the church will not be built if it is in our own strength. We can preach, we can speak words, we can try to do things, but it is all in vain. If the Holy Spirit is not present and working in a powerful way, in a secret way, and doing things that we cannot do, that's our expectation, that's our hope, to see that in our days. And we see the Holy Spirit is working, and we want to see it. We have a desire to see it in an abundant way. The Spirit using the Word of God, using the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit dwelling in the hearts of people, and breaking the pride and humbling hearts, and healing the hearts and lives of people. Wonderful. You see that. How the Lord Jesus is teaching when he is on earth. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And we will make our abode with him. The Lord is coming to the heart of a girl, to the heart of a boy, and making his abode with such a person. God fulfills his promise. As the first point. Second thought this morning is a house for the Lord. So Solomon was building a temple, a house for the Lord. Although he was aware, and he would say it later in his prayer, the Lord is so great that the heaven of heavens, too small to contain the Lord. But still the Lord is willing to have a place on earth, a temple, where he will receive the worship of human beings, and where he will make manifest
His presence amongst His people.
Is the Lord willing to live among such people?
That has made Him work so many times? That made Him sad, you could say, so have grieved Him so many times with their sins? Is He still willing to live amongst people of Israel? Can you imagine that? Those that were lifting their fists against the Lord, turning their backs against to the Lord, serving idols, kneeling down for graven images, grieving the Lord, dishonoring the Lord. Is He willing to have a temple amongst this people? That sounds impossible. But it's written here.
Would He be willing to work in your heart by the Holy Spirit? Does it sound impossible for you? Why? How do you think about God? Do you believe that He says that He is a gracious God? That He is a forgiving God? You say there are so many idols in my heart. Yeah, the Lord knows. So if I could throw out all those idols, you cannot. He will do it. He will do it.
Till the end of your life on earth, He will be the one changing hearts, making Himself manifest in your life, and receiving the worship from your heart and life by the power of His own Spirit. The Lord is willing to have a temple amongst this people of Israel that He has chosen to be His own people, but that in their themselves they are sinful people, sinning against God, sinning against their God. If you read about His building of the temple, and if you read all the details described here in this chapter, how detailed it is described here, then we have an impression how great it is, how beautiful it is. And it is showing us something of the glory of God, that He deserves to have a beautiful place, a great place amongst, in the midst of His people. So all the dimensions of the temple, if you compare it to the tabernacle in the wilderness, are twice as long as the dimensions of the tabernacle. So it's much bigger. And if you remember that in those days the houses in Jerusalem are not so big, then it's a quite a big building. Well, you would compare it to a building that we have in our days, you could say, well, it's not so very big, but it's a beautiful and big house there in Jerusalem for the Lord, to His glory. Well, this building of the temple, the purpose is not that man would glory in themselves. Look, what a very big, it's one of the miracles of the world that man could say that now. But it is to the glory of God. It's a beautiful house for the Lord and for His glory. And then if you remember that it's built there on the top of a mountain, people could see it and remember their God and worship Him in the heart and being amazed that this holy God is willing to be served by them and to be their Savior. And you read, when you read this chapter, then you see how wise Solomon was doing this building. He was thinking about all kind of things. He made chambers round about, so you could say those chambers probably have been storing places for the service of the Lord, the service of the sacrifices, and could also be being used for to stay temporary for the priest. And But also we read that Solomon is doing this building in such a way that all the materials for the building of the temple are prepared outside of the city, in the field or in the hills, and they are prepared in such a way that they will fit exactly to build a house. So when the house is built there on the spot where it will be, then you couldn't hear the hammers. There was not that noise, but it could be done in a silent way. Why? What is the purpose of that? Showing some wisdom that the Lord has given to the many people involved in the building. Why are they doing that in such a way? Well, if you remember what is written in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, it says in the second chapter, after speaking about the idols, it says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." So you can think about idols, those graven images. And then at the other side, the Lord. "But the Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." And I know this is written later, but still, this is a truth about how the Lord is, that he is a holy God. So in being silent before the Lord, you show reverence to God. God is holy. Are we seeing how holy and how great God is, that we show that reverence? That's a thing that we teach our children, isn't it? Children, God is holy. So when we pray, show reverence to the Lord. And when we read a word, show reverence to the Lord. God is holy. God is the mighty, eternal God. He is not a human being, but he is a holy God. So let us be very humble and show reverence to God. That's what we see happening here. It's quite impressive when you could see that, how they in a silent way build this beautiful big house of the Lord. It's making you aware. Here's something big happening, a great thing, a house for the Lord. Is God willing to live with us? Oh, you do not have words. It will give silence in your heart. Reverence. You do not know what to say. You just want to bow before such a wonderful, a gracious God. Do you know that all before the Lord, that reverence, that you see his majesty, that you see that he is God, that we are man, that you feel what a privilege it is that we can be here this morning, in his church building, in a special place where the Lord is speaking to us. Is the holy God speaking to me? Is he forbearing me? Is he calling me to be here? Is this place, the place, you could say the workplace of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it is. Oh, then you will not enter this building without thoughts. You will not sit down without awe in your heart, here in the church, or listening at home to this service, but you will be amazed. There will be a deep reverence in your heart. God is coming to us. How is it possible? I cannot exist before God. I should be cast out. I deserve eternal damnation. And He is proclaiming me eternal glory in his only begotten Son. Oh, it can make you so, it will make you so small before the Lord. You can sit here this morning with many questions, isn't it? Why are things going the way they go in my life? Why do I experience those sad things? why do I suffer? But if you think about who God is, you will not raise your fist, will you? You will bow your head, say, Thou art God. I am man. I'm just a small piece of dust compared to the holy God. I will put my hand on my mouth. I will not speak against the holy God. He is doing according to His providence, according to His good pleasure. And He is holy, wise, and good. How could I ever think that He is making mistakes? I sin against God. He's right. He's righteous. He's good. He deserves to be honored and to be praised. Let me be silent for the holy God. What a privilege to have a day like today, a Lord's Day, to be silent before God, to withdraw from the noise of this world, to be silent before God. Children, do you see something of that holiness of God? And do we see what a privilege it is that we have His Word? If we are called to be in the offices, do we see what a privilege it is to serve such a God? If we would be in a service near to the King, if I think about Netherlands, well, I'm very near to the King. I'm in His service. And how to be in the service of the Lord. And to hear the Lord speaking to me. People like to see Him when the King came here. And what if He would shake your hand and talk to you? Now this morning the Lord is coming so near and speaking in His Word to us. And you could say, yeah, it is true. He is the one that is dwelling amongst us. And He is dwelling in your heart, O child of God, by His Spirit. How is it possible? When you know yourself and you are humble before the Lord, then there's a deep joy in your heart. There's a sense of that majesty, that glory of God coming near to you in Christ. That's the only way to experience that in Christ. Paul is teaching that in the letter to the Ephesians, where he writes in his second chapter, in whom, in Christ, it means in Christ, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So that's what he says to the church, to in Ephesus, that they are a habitation of God through the Spirit. How is that possible? The Holy God. In Christ, only in Christ there's a way to experience, to be made an habitation of the Lord. That the Lord is here in the midst of us as a church, working amongst us, dwelling amongst us, and showing His presence, receiving the worship of the church. Or Peter says in his letters, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. So the Lord is taking a boy there, child, a woman, and making them like stones to build a temple, to build His church all over this world, where people are truly believing, really converted. They are taken by the Lord as a stone, and He is shaping them to fit in that building. And He uses what needs to be used for me and for you, so that we will be stones fitting in that building, in the temple of the Lord. And how true it is what is said in Psalm 127, except the Lord builds, it's all in vain. But He is doing that. He's the same God. The Spirit is shaping to make perfectly fit. Yeah, like a boy cutting a piece of wood to make it fit as a tool to do something, to build something. So the Lord is carving, shaping us in His way. So what would we say? Let us be silent before the Lord. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 4:16, stanza 3 till 5. 4:16, stanza 3. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? 4:16, stanza 3 till 5.
congregation, all at a sudden in this chapter, well, we read about the building of this house for the Lord. There is an interruption, all at a sudden, and the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes, and execute my judgment, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. How important this interruption. How important are the interruptions of the Lord in our lives? Do you know those interruptions? You can be busy in doing the work of the Lord. Even as a pastor, you can be so busy. You can run from the one to the other and study and work and prepare. And then you forget about the most important things, the things inside. And that's what the Lord is going to show to Solomon. Now, you build this house, that's good. It's a big effort to do it. But remember, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgment, keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee. So the Lord says, well, but you know, your salvation does not depend on the building of this house. Your security and your comfort is not in this beautiful temple here. Don't forget, people made that mistake later. You know, in the days of Jeremiah, before they were brought in captivity because of their sins, and Jeremiah and the other prophets were preaching and warning the people, they couldn't believe it. They would say, well, the Lord's temple, the Lord's temple, the Lord's temple is this. So what could happen to us? We are the people of God. We have the temple of the Lord. We have the city of God. How wrong they were. The temple was destroyed, and the city was destroyed, and they were taken out of the promised land into captivity because of their sins, because of that it was not right in sight, which was seen in their behavior. There is a lesson that the Lord is giving to Solomon and to us this morning. There can be many things at the outside. Think, well, you're quite good. Look what we are doing. Look how we behave. What about your heart? Is there that humble obedience to God in your heart worked by the Spirit? Otherwise, it's all in vain. You are not secure by what you have at the outside. Don't forget it. And it's the same thing that his father David had said to him already. And it's repeated several times to Solomon. It is so important. We are so prone to look at the outside, to think, well, it's quite good. The Lord said, well, no, I'm watching your heart. I'm looking at the inside of your life. And how is it that your inside? How is it with your heart? With my heart? Is my heart a temple of the Lord? Am I aware that the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside? If I live by true faith, that is the case. Amazing. Eternal God dwelling in my heart by His Spirit. So that will be seen, that it will have a result in your life. And yeah, the Lord says to Solomon, maybe you have a question about that, huh? If thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgment and keep all my commandments to walk in them. So your first question can be, well, does salvation depend on keeping the commandments of the Lord? 10 commandments you can think about, or you can think about the summary of the commandments, to love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. How can we ever do that? And can we be secure because of that? Maybe that's a question that you have. I understand your question, and I'll try to answer.
You remember what the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples before he ascended to heaven? Matthew 28. What does the Lord say in verse 20? He is telling them that they have to teach, to observe all things that I commanded you. So, we should not forget that the teaching, that's what Christ says, they have to proclaim the gospel and teach them all things to observe that I commanded you. So there's a very important place for the teaching of the commandments. It has been done throughout the whole church history. If you would investigate and study it, now in the early church, if they would teach the new Christians, they would teach them the Ten Commandments. And they would teach them the prayer of the Lord. And they would teach them, very soon, they had the confession of faith, the 12 articles of faith. You could say a very short summary of the contents of the Christian faith. And if you look into the Heidelberg Catechism, you can see that there are a lot of attention. It's quite the same thing that they teach you about the Confession of Faith, the 12 articles. They teach you about the Ten Commandments. And they teach you about the prayer of the Lord. It has been done throughout the whole church history. So we should never think that we can neglect that. But I understand your question. Can we be saved by keeping the commandments of God? And we know that is not the case. We cannot be saved by keeping the commandments of God. No, then I would be lost. I stumble every day. I stumble every day and you do too. I know that. I know my own heart. A certain measure, so I know how you are. We stumble every day. So our hope is not in our keeping of the commandments. That is true. I read about Mother Teresa. You know, that woman that is so well known because of all the love that she shows in good works. If you read about her letters that she wrote, the last 50 years of her life. It is said that she is acknowledging in those letters, coming near to the end of her life, that she did in the last 50 years of her life experience almost nothing of the presence and love of God. Why? She did so much in the service of the Lord, you could say. That's how it is believed. I'm not going to judge about that. Well, we learn one important thing from that. To experience the presence and the love of God is not by all the good works that we might do in this world, but is only by Christ. He is the only way to God. He is the only way to experience the love and presence of God in my heart. If my hope is in Christ, if I have a living faith in Christ as a perfect Savior, I will experience the love of God, and then I will experience that answer in my heart that I will love God. We love Him. But John says in his letters, because he loved us first. So that is so fundamental, you know, that you see that. That is such an important thing. But if you love God, you will have a desire to keep His commandments. It will be seen, for sure. For sure. So that's how we have to understand it. Oh, that someone would live so near to God, to that gracious God, and to the promises of God, that it
will be seen that he would keep his commandments, or at least has a desire, his will united to the will of God. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. And we know what happened. We know that he had many horses, that he had a lot of money and loved to have many women, and that his heart was drawn away from the Lord, even to kneel down in the temples of the idols of his women, of his wives. How sad. While we still believe he is a child of God. Yeah. So, before he died, he must have repented. Although there's not a very clear testimony about that in Scripture. The Lord has quite much hidden that in his word. He has his wise reasons for that. So if this happened to Solomon, let us watch and pray. And let us remember this teaching of the Lord. Maybe the Lord is interrupting you now, right away, where you are in your life, so busy with all kinds of things. And how important those interruptions of the Lord. Wait. Think for a while. What are you doing? What is it all about in your life? Man, woman, boy, girl, do you see that it is about the inside? Otherwise, it's all in vain. Yeah, Paul is writing to the Ephesians in the 3rd chapter. Oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's our only hope, his righteousness. And then you will have a desire to live righteous. Amen. Let us pray together. Most gracious God, the temple couldn't save the people of Israel. All the things that we do at the outside are not our hope and security. But, O Lord, that our hearts might be a dwelling place of the Spirit, to burn out that indwelling sin more and more, wash and cleanse us by the blood of Christ. Lord, how great Thou art! What a wonderful God, how worthy to be served, worshipped, honored, praised, and given all the glory. Give us a heart to do that, O Lord. We thank Thee for Thy word. Apply it to our hearts that we all will be saved by the work of Christ, to be taken by the power of Thy word and shaped to be a stone, a living stone in a great building that Thou art building in this world history, Thy church, as a spiritual building to Thy glory, to be worshipped within, to be present within. Lord, oh, what a deep joy. It makes us silent. It makes us put our hand upon our mouth. Thou art God and we are man. What shall we say? O Lord, Thou art ruling our lives, wise and good. And Thou art giving us what we need to be molded and shaped. Thou art a potter and we are clay. Lord, make us vessels to Thy glory. We thank Thee for Thy word this morning. Be with us when we go home. Be with each and every one of us. Protect us on the dangerous roads. And give us a day of rest, O Lord, to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, to meditate upon the Word, to pray. Oh, that we would pray more. Out of the fullness of our hearts, filled by that wonder, that miracle of grace in Christ. We pray also for Renee, when she is planning to travel this week.
help her, O Lord, that everything might be well with her in her pregnancy, that she might return safely in South Africa. Bless the work there. O Lord, bless all the mission work. We pray especially for the people of Israel. O Lord, the temple is destroyed, but build up again, but that I would live amongst them by showing that Christ is that Savior that came, that Messiah. Open their eyes to see it. O Lord, we don't know what will happen to us here in the United States, but we know that salvation is a thing of the heart, and things at the outside can be destroyed and taken away. Like the temple was destroyed, but Lord, it was rebuilt. O Lord, that Thou would rebuild us as a nation, that we might see it, so that Christ might dwell amongst us. Lord, but if we have to experience times of persecution, that it might be used for the good for the church, to purify the church, to make the church holy, O Lord, to make us more Christ-like. Oh, make us faithful, O Lord. Help us. Forgive our many sins. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.